Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good morning, God-fearing, liberty-loving, nationalistic, Christian, crusader patriots. There we go. Good morning, Lady Liberty. Welcome to the morning commute.
Well, good morning to you, and good morning, everyone out there. Welcome to Thrash Economy Thursday.
Thrash 'em! Oh,
which
yeah.
Is, which is quite the theme for what the word of the day is today.
Oh, so, I can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, we'll have to jump right to it because, I don't know, this is a toughie.
Yeah, well, we still got that, we put out the teaser yesterday. We got that Hillary clip.
Oh, yes.
With her lies and more lies and, you know, numbers, just like they did with the COVID thing. You know, 200 million people are going to be dead by the time I'm done with this speech. Well, same thing with climate change. You know, it's thousands and millions and 500 million, half a billion. It's just the numbers are all over the place.
But, that's right.
The first thrashing here, and then we'll get to the word of the day, you know, from Trump's trial, a heavily redacted search warrant was just received, and this was put out by the Trump team. It was made public. It reveals special counsel Jack Smith, demanded information on Twitter users who interacted with Donald Trump's tweets leading up to January 6th. So they wanted all of anybody who gave a thumbs up or a like or a share, you know, all that kind of stuff that interacted with what Trump tweeted. Yeah, they want all that information.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it is a search warrant. So there's the first thrashing there of the day out the gate. All right, so let's get to the word of the day. What do we got?
Let's do it because, you know, for Thrash Economy Thursday, we've got this other thing going on with the Lord, right?
Yes.
Well, okay, so the word of the day for Thrash Economy Thursday comes to us from Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 34, and that reads under the title, Love Your Enemies. Well, okay.
Aww.
Do we have to? like in our hearts and everything?
Right.
Right?
In our thoughts?
In our thoughts. Okay, well, so that is what Christians are called to do. And so it reads, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you, and from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. And that's it.
Wow.
And so that, you know, that...
That's water.
That is just
thrown
very...
on our Thrash Economy Thursday.
Well, you know, because there's two sides of this whole thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And
we've talked about this a lot,
yeah,
this actually.
It's important. It's important to keep this straight.
Yeah.
Because there's the one-to-one relationship that you have with other people who are close to you. But then there's the macro relationship that you have with others in your community, in the
right.
nation, around the world. And so here's a thing where if your enemies are pursuing you or whatever, you know, like David would pray to the Lord, you know, for his advice on what to do. The Lord didn't say stop and make them breakfast. You know,
right.
he never told David to do that.
Right.
As his enemies are pursuing him, the Lord would deliver them into his hand and David would slay them.
Right.
And
yep.
So
did Joshua. So did Elijah. Many other examples. Yeah.
Right. And so I have to think that love your enemies generally, you know, on the macro scale, generally in the fact that you offer them the choice to listen to the word of God.
Yes.
That, you know, you're doing that. And if they listen, if they choose to listen, it will save their eternal soul.
Right.
And that is definitely one very clear way to love your enemies. Share the gospel.
Yeah, your testimony for winning people over, when you're abrasive and you know, in their face, you're a sinner, you're going to hell type of thing, even though it might be true, is, you know, when you're combative and what's the word, confrontational, that doesn't do your testimony very well, you know. So generally speaking, yes, we are to, and I've done this, this goes a long ways. You know, praying for your enemies is not an easy thing to do, but I have made myself do it. And, you know, I want to be obedient. And there's also another thing, the side to that is loving your brother. And when you're allowing your brother to be plundered by godless people who are trying to destroy your country, and you understand that your nation is a gift that was given to you by God, that you're expected to defend and defend his principles, that does not mean you let the enemy run roughshod over your fellow man and your own nation.
That's right.
And God has a lot to say about that. So, you know, somebody slaps you, turn the other cheek. That doesn't mean when somebody, you know, when your enemy is kills a child, you don't toss him another child.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
You have to stand against evil. And Elijah did it. John the Baptist did it.
Right.
They confronted evildoers.
Well, and the thing too is like where it says, and just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. I would consider, like, in a battle, how I would expect my enemies to treat me, even in a time of war, you know, where there's just things, there's lines you don't cross.
Right.
You know, that even if you're, you know, seriously trying to kill each other, there's still ethics in war.
Yeah.
Which is why there was the Nuremberg trials.
Right.
You know, where you would want your enemy to behave with the same kind of morality that you would have. And like when I've been up against my enemies before, I didn't have to, you know, of course I'm not in a battle with weapons. I'm in a battle for property rights. And my enemies actually pulled me aside one time. These were the communists. They said, we just want you to know that we are adamantly opposed to everything that you stand for, but we sure like how you're going about it. And
right.
That was an outstanding compliment, because who gets a compliment from your enemies?
Right. And when they respect you and they tell you that.
Right.
You know, even though you can disagree, you know, ideologically on different things, but how you present yourself, they can see Christ in you, you know, when you do it
the way
he says to. And, you know, it's in a loving way. It is, you know, you're passionate about what you stand for.
Right.
You know, and like I was saying, somebody who's trying to put pornography into children's, you know, library schools, you're not acting all lovey with them.
Well,
you know,
right,
you're
because
firmly making your position known.
Right.
You're not trying to be friendly about it.
Well, and see, that's the other thing too, is what is the definition of love in that situation anyway? The best thing that you could do for those people, these drag queens, is to be very straightforward and tell them that if they continue in their ways, they're going to hell. That is seriously the best, most loving thing that you can do to them.
Right.
Because if you don't, and that's their one chance to actually have a discussion, you know, about the core of what they're doing, and you fail to represent God in a way that they might actually even hear a few of your words of truth.
Right.
You're not being loving to them at all. And so even though their words might come as an extreme slap in the face to them, in the end, it would save their life. And so what could be more loving than that? And
right.
The whole point of God's enemies in the first place is that they fail. They fail in the department of having developed a love of the truth, right?
Well,
and
not
that's,
only
that's,
that.
That's the
yeah.
biggest shortcoming. And that is why there are godless people, because they don't understand what the truth really is.
Well, with all of these agendas, you know, we've stood so firm and called out, I mean, pretty harshly, being lied to, because to be passive about it is the most unloving thing that you can do to your fellow man, when they're lying to you about the vaccines,
yep.
or, you know, what they're trying to do with the libraries and children. You know, it's an unloving thing not to confront that. It's an unloving thing towards your community and your children and everything else. So yeah, this is quite the balancing act. And of course, this is a random turning.
Right.
We're responding to it like shooting from the hip. I wish I could sit down and add advance notice where you can actually gather your thoughts, present a slam home argument, you know, so you word it properly.
Right.
But,
well,
yeah,
and you know, like that whole little initial thing there, I have hanging on our wall, in fact.
Yeah.
But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, and pray for those who spitefully use you. There's another thing. So you've got people who are lying to you, and people who might be spitefully using you, and you're supposed to pray for those who spitefully use you. You know, where that whole thought develops out of forgiveness and allowing God to be the one who puts on his clothing of vengeance.
Right.
Right. Vengeance is not ours. And so for somebody that is spitefully using you, you forgive them. You forgive them, and that allows God to be the one that takes care of that person for using you.
Yeah.
And if you don't, that's basically, you're causing yourself more harm by not forgiving them. And so when somebody will spitefully use you, pray for them. Pray that they turn from their wicked ways, because God has a spanking, a huge spanking for those people. And
right.
And so all of these things, once you start studying how they all weave together, what they all mean, this love your enemies thing is deep. It's rich.
Yes, it is.
It's rich, yeah. Because it gets to the core of what really, really matters in life. And it also lays out how to have right relationships with both micro and macro interactions, right?
Right.
And so that is the entire goal that Jesus has for us, is to get right relationships where you're not using somebody, you're not cursing somebody else, you're not lying to somebody else. You're actually treating them with love and respect the way he has designed us to treat each other.
Yeah. And that's kind of the conundrum. I guess it comes down to discernment, you know, because we talk about, let's say, the property rights issue, where somebody is spitefully using you. They're trying to steal your land, unlawfully,
right.
Using unelected officials for a globalist agenda that's,
yep,
un-American, unconstitutional, and they want to, you know, fine you $30,000 a day and then confiscate your property. That kind of evil stuff is, you know, a totally separate issue.
Right.
So
well,
we have
those are war terms that you're talking
about. Well, these are really discernment issues to, you know, how to rightfully divide the word,
right,
and how to discern when to apply which scriptures, because it,
right,
can seem, especially to an unbeliever, contradictory,
right,
you know, in how a Christian might respond to one thing or the other.
Well, and this is where the Bible study is so important,
yeah,
because the more you know that book, the more you can discern,
right,
because different verses come to mind as you're reading new things, you know, where you can apply verses throughout. It all connects together. And especially when it seems like the world's simplest instruction, where in Deuteronomy, God just says, I lay before you two choices, life or death.
Right.
Choose life. Right. And so you go, well, yeah, that's simple. Right.
Right. I choose life. It's a no-brainer.
Right. And so, yeah, it's very important to read all of these things and to, you know, tax yourself in putting effort into understanding why.
Right.
You know, seriously, it's that's just what we're called to do. And especially if you're having a problem with these right here. I mean, that's why I have it hanging on the wall, because that is a huge milestone that every problem I've ever come in contact with, I refer to that hanging on the wall, you know, and what God tells me to do when I don't want to do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I do it anyway, even if it's like with gritted teeth and you're just,
yes,
you know.
But obedience first, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
For sure. Wow, boy, that's you're right. That's a deep one. I mean, we could discuss
this. We could talk about that for a month.
Yeah, we could talk about that for a long time, for sure. And so, thank you for that. And it's always good to be pulled back to that once again. And we mentioned that this very scripture, it's interesting. We actually mentioned it yesterday.
We did. Yep, I know. I was thinking that as reading that, because if you love, I think that was actually what I said was,
what credit is that to you?
What is it to you? What credit is it to you?
Yep.
And so there it is. Surprise.
There it is. Well, Lord, thank you for talking to us and through us.
And yes, and being part of the conversation. That's just priceless.
That's awesome. Yep. All right. So that scripture one more time
was Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 34.
27 through 34. All right. Well, there you go, Patriots. Chew on that one and pray over that one and how to apply that one in your life on a day-to-day basis. So let's take a break. Thank you guys for supporting us. We are listener-supported, and we really depend on your help, and we are in great need of it. So if you go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com and click on the Donate tab there, you'll find out the different ways that you can support us in any amount, $5, $10, $20, $50 a month, anything that won't set you back but will help us and keep us on the air. We appreciate that. All right, we'll be back with segment two right after this. Stay tuned.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
I certainly understand that some have chosen to attack the integrity of the Justice Department as components and its employees by claiming that we do not treat like cases alike. This constitutes an attack on an institution that is essential to American democracy.
Welcome back, Patriots. Segment two of the morning commute. Hopefully you're all off to a blessed, even though it's a soggy commute, but you guys are safe and blessed and off to a great day. Lady Liberty, segment two on this awesome, what is it?
Thrash-a-comey
Thrash
Thursday.
Thrash them. I mean, pray for them, I mean.
Yeah.
Pray for them.
Pray for them.
Love them to death. yeah, it's, well, you know, like John the Baptist, he approached the king. you know, and gave him the what for about his, you know, yes. his relationship with his,
that's right.
you know, getting rid of his wife and
loving doesn't mean being an enabler.
Right. Well, here's somebody that we definitely want to speak out against, Hillary Clinton this climate summit, talking about the heat killing people and 500,000 people could die. And they're trying to calculate the numbers. Well, they're trying to calculate the numbers just like they did with COVID. And you're going to watch. Write these numbers down as they spit them out after they pull them out of their ear. And they're going to change. They're going to be all over the board, just like the vaccines, just like COVID, just like, you know, everything
else. Well, just like that's what liars do. As soon as you trap them and you prove that they're wrong, they just get all squirmy and slimy and start throwing out all sorts of weird, crazy distractions. And all liars are just weird.
They figure out all kinds of numbers to throw at you.
Yep.
But yeah, listen to what she says.
We're seeing and beginning to pay attention and to count and record the deaths that are related to climate, and by far the biggest killer is extreme heat. I mean, even in Europe last summer, which has the ability to count and figure out what happened, they recorded 61,000 deaths because of the heat in Europe. We don't have that kind of number yet from Africa, Asia, Latin America, but we know and estimate that we probably could measure about 500,000 deaths. And the majority of those are women and girls, and particularly pregnant women.
Okay, so now suddenly they care about pregnant women.
Oh, yes, exactly.
But, and she says, we don't have those numbers yet, but we probably... Oh, no, we know that we probably could estimate.
Well, it's such a flat-out brazen lie, especially
right.
when they're saying in Europe there were 61,000 heat deaths, as if we don't have the same planet that we live on that rotates.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what I mean? We're basically the same latitude. We did not ever see 61,000 deaths.
Besides that, globalists, we don't trust you. We don't believe you.
That's
right. We saw what you did with COVID. We saw a person die in a motorcycle accident, but he was tested as positive for COVID, so that was a COVID death. We saw people that were on, you know, stage 4 cancer on their deathbed, and gets counted as a COVID death. They were going to die within hours, right? So,
well, and even more to the point, we also already know that anything climate related is just another huge attempt to redistribute the wealth, which basically means to steal everybody's money.
Yep, and grab power. Power and wealth, and it's a lie. It's a scam,
yep.
And we don't buy it.
And I would not listen to anything that woman says ever.
No.
I mean, she is such a skilled, crafty liar. She doesn't even flinch. She doesn't blink. I mean, she's probably one of those sociopathic liars that when they lie, they believe their lies.
It's their mother tongue language. It's their
native language.
It's their native language.
Yep.
It just rolls right off her tongue without even... with no effort whatsoever.
She learned English after she learned lying.
Right. No kidding.
Well, and so speaking of global things happening and also invaders, we've got this most awesome clip. We just want to say thank you to the person that posted this on our channel. This lady in Texas is a hero. I give her the Hero of the Week award, even though this happened way back in 2015. You and I had never seen it.
Right.
And so as soon as I saw that, both of us had the same reaction. We were both just like, yes!
Now, you guys don't have the visual of this. Well, if you are on our Telegram channel, and you can get on that by going to The Morning Commute on Telegram. But just to set this up, this was a capital, take the capital Muslim thing, and this Texas woman walks up and grabs the microphone and she starts speaking, right?
Yeah, yep.
Now the Muslims are freaking out and it turns into a wrestling match to take the microphone away from her, and she still got her message out before they escorted her off the stage.
Oh, this she was awesome.
Beautiful. Listen to this.
in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over the capital of Texas. I stand against Islam and the false prophet Muhammad. Islam will never dominate the United States, and by the grace of God, it will not dominate Texas.
I like that. That is a Christian awesome. Patriot.
That is a real live Christian right there.
Yeah.
That actually made me think of David running for Goliath. You know what I mean? That's that same kind of spirit. She's standing there amongst all these Muslims, and she just sneaks right up behind the microphone and all of a sudden just grabs that microphone and just belts it out.
Stuns everybody. By the grace of God, you will never dominate Texas or
we'd
America.
We'd like to find out who that woman was. We'd like to just give her a hero award.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's the Thrashakami, Day award right there. She needs a wiffle bat.
We should just give her a signed
wiffle bat.
Well, and speaking of Texas, Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton announced a lawsuit against Pfizer last Thursday for unlawfully misrepresenting the company's COVID-19 vaccine effectiveness and engaging in efforts to censor public discussion of the vaccine.
Yes.
And so, woohoo! I have been waiting for this kind of stuff to happen because, oh man, the lawsuits could just start flying.
Yeah. Oh man. This is going to be just, that's just awesome. That's just awesome. And that needs to be the first domino in a whole series of dominoes to start falling on that.
Yep, exactly. Yep. Those people have got to pay for what they've done. And here Hillary's saying 61,000 died of heat. No, I think it probably had something to do with the vaccination.
Oh, yeah. You could die in a motorcycle accident. Well, it's pretty hot out here.
It's
probably why you slammed into the side of that minivan, this person with cancer, they would have lived another 4 hours if it wasn't so hot.
Right.
So there's another death. Yeah, they're scam artists. That's all they are. Well, guys, stay close to the truth and join us tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for the morning commute right here.
That's right. You all have a thankful Thrashakami Thursday, and blessings to all of you Christian patriots out there.